Holy Week begins today with Palm Sunday, the Christian story of a Jew, a rabbi, who entered Jerusalem triumphantly, but then would go on to find a week, no surprise to him, cataclysmic, a cataclysmic failure on all levels, except for one. And if you think I'm going to say that his only success was the resurrection of his body and that he walked around for a few more days and then ascended to heaven, you would be wrong. I've learned that 25% of people coming into UU congregations now have had no religious experience growing up. So some of you remember the Passover story because you were raised in the Christian church and probably participated in the grand procession with palms that happened on that day. But if you do not know, let me just say a bit about the story. Jesus had been teaching in the areas around Jerusalem for about 3 years. He'd gathered quite a following, grew up from the original 12 disciples. There was just something about this man, how he treated people, what he said, his very presence. I mean, he actually sat down and ate and drank with people. Unlike most clergy of the time, he washed their feet, for heaven's sakes. Don't get any ideas. No, I would. It was written long after he died that he performed metaphysical miracles, like actually changing water into wine and bringing a dead man back to life. I don't know because I wasn't there. I have watched and read all manner of people trying to explain these things with science and with pure faith, but I personally think there were more important miracles in the story of his life. Jesus was walking around in Roman-occupied Palestine. He had broken rules in the temples and in general is saying things to mostly oppressed people about their goodness and their power. He's hanging out with thieves and prostitutes and all manner of sinners and telling them that God loves them, that they are worthy, and that every person is in need of mercy because this being human is complicated, and let she or he without sin throw the first stone. He's going around rebuking those who cast anyone outside the circle of human dignity. He's saying that the meek shall inherit the earth, and that the most important kingdom is within people, and all manner of other subversive things did he say. So rumors are spreading around about this traveling teacher that he's saying things about a certain kind of power, one that can be detrimental to the power as perceived by an empire. So now, on this day, the first Palm Sunday, he's arriving in Jerusalem to celebrate Passover. And Passover is the story of God, after all, delivering a group of oppressed people from slavery into the promised land of freedom. This upstart was speaking against the rule of tyranny of the rich over the poor. He was reaching out and touching everyone with merciful intent. It must have been like water upon parched and bruised earth. It must have caused a kind of blooming within their souls to be so loved, so seen, so empowered. All of this, I might imagine, made the establishment a little nervous. So the mayor of the area, Pontius Pilate, who usually did not hang out in Jerusalem, just thought he might mosey on over there on horseback in full regalia, followed by hundreds of armed soldiers. He just wanted to make sure that nothing unsavory or dangerous was entering across the borders with ill intent. Can't be too careful after all. Even though when he heard this rabbi entered the city on the back of a donkey, well, who would call such a common lowly person king? The story of that is, Jesus had asked his disciples, or a few of them, to go into a neighboring town where they would see on the edges a donkey tied up. And they were to untie that donkey and bring it to him. In Hebrew scripture, donkey is a symbol of he who comes in peace. Jesus knew Hebrew scripture. So the two disciples went to get the donkey, and sure enough, it was there. And Jesus had said to them, "Now, when you untie the donkey, and if they say, 'Why are you doing this?' tell them, 'The Lord needs this donkey.'" And so they went, they untied the donkey. The people who owned the donkey indeed asked, "Why are you taking our donkey?" And they said, "The Lord needs it. He will return it." They untied the donkey. Well, listen, given what happened that week, you have to wonder if the donkey was actually ever returned. On the eve of Passover, Jesus sat on the back of a donkey that no one had ever ridden and entered Jerusalem in a joyful, triumphant, yet humble manner. Palms were strewn before him, and the clothing off of people's back, too. And so Holy Week begins. But if we know anything, we know that Holy Week does not mean always happy or fully triumphant or anything of the sort. That evening there is a Seder, and at some point in the week Jesus enters the temple and casts aspersions on the activity there, the mercenary activities there. At some point in this Holy Week, Jesus is charged with something like treason and is brought before Pilate for trial, if you want to call it that. A caveat, an aside here. Given what happened down the road here at a basketball game where some Christian youth called out and mocked Jews for killing Jesus, the original story of Holy Week in Mark says nothing of the sort, but it is true that all through the development of the Christian church, there was an animosity toward Jews, for those Jews who didn't take the Christian path, the Christ-inspired path. And so those passages did get written into the Bible as a way to serve things that Jesus would never have allowed, for sure. So there is anti-Semitism in Christian scripture. At first, Pilate saw nothing horrible about what this humble, plainly dressed man had done, but he finally bowed to all kinds of pressure and ordered him crucified as a criminal, guilty of something that was difficult to put in words, actually. It had to be experienced, but it just seemed treasonous. I don't believe that Jesus ever called himself a king. Rather, he said, "That is what you call me. I am that I am." But I would imagine that his peaceful presence and refusal to get riled was maddening. The powerful in any time don't like that kind of humble, loving presence. It's unsettling. So then, crucify him. Bible scholars Marcus Borg and John Dominic Crossan tell us this about systems of power, of some over others. It is important to realize that what killed Jesus was nothing unusual. As empires go, Rome was better than most. There was nothing exceptional or abnormal about it. This is simply the way domination systems behave. So common is this dynamic that it can also be called the normalcy of civilization. Good Friday was the result of the collision of the Passion of Jesus and the normalcy of civilization. In Maricopa, Arizona, there is a tent city that can house 2,000 inmates. It was started years ago by Sheriff Joe Arpaio because the inside prison was full. We know that between 1990 and 2005, a new prison opened every 10 days in this country. Now, because Arpaio believes in a certain kind of justice, he set out to never have to say no to a prisoner coming his way. He found a slew of used tents from the Korean War. He put barbed wire around them and a guard tower, and he cheaply grew his ability to incarcerate. There is no heat or air conditioning in these tents, and the temperature has risen to 140 degrees in those tents. They say that Arpaio limits the television for inmates to a few channels. One is the weather channel, so that they can get anxious about the coming rise in temperatures. The inmates have been working in the desert chained together, and the good sheriff brags that he is the first and only person to form female chain gangs. He is proud of how frugal he is. The prisoners eat only 2 meals a day, and recently he took meat off of the menu, as well as salt and pepper. Most of the inmates in the tent city are awaiting trial, have not even been judged guilty of a crime. There are inmates who are young. To humiliate the male inmates, he makes them wear pink underwear and use pink towels. You can see pictures of these tents swathed in pink on the internet. All of these things intended to wear down and weaken and horrify a person with the misjudged idea that this will keep them from ever committing crimes again, despite all the evidence to the contrary. Now, this good sheriff has lots of power in this county of 4 million people, which includes Phoenix. I will add that he is known for his blatant racism against Latinos, especially those in the country without documents. Everyone in Maricopa County knows that Joe Arpaio does these things. Even though there are many legal actions pending against him, he has been reelected 5 times. Saturday, he stood on a podium to introduce one of our presidential candidates. This isn't unusual. It is the normalcy of civilization, brazenly projected out there in the blazing Arizona sun. So then nothing in the Palm Sunday story is foreign to us. It is about who gets to ride into the city and be called a leader. Nothing in the Good Friday story is foreign to us as we witness ongoing, merciless, and unjust activity that has been normalized. Nothing about the Easter story is foreign to us as we live on this earth with people like Brian Stevenson, who has brought Easter to the lives of so many over his lifetime. Nothing is foreign to us about the renewal of the Easter story as we commit to this community of messiahs in their own way. Some say the physical body of Jesus resurrected and was seen by some of his followers before he ascended into heaven. I don't know, because I wasn't there. I will say that the oldest gospel, the Gospel of Mark, written only 30 years after Jesus died, says no such thing. Rather, it ends with the empty tomb. It ends with the implied charge to go forth and live the passionate message of Jesus, to fill the dead tomb of the normalcy of civilization with justice laced with mercy, and mercy that transcends the structures of justice. We all are broken in some way and in need of mercy. And when we receive it, it is Easter. When I was about 10, I stole something and I got caught at it. And it wasn't a pretty picture in my life at that time. But about a week after that, when my parents had decided whatever they had decided, to amend my ways, my grandmother sat down with me and said to me, "You are more, you are better than the worst thing you have ever done." We are all broken in some way and in need of mercy. Mercy that teaches us we are all more than the worst thing we have ever done. And when that mercy is bestowed upon us, it is Easter. My friend and colleague Claire Feingold Thoren writes, "We Unitarian Universalists are not leaving, not yet. We are arriving. Under our feet, the palms, the coats, the stones, and the dirt. In our hand, the hand of another. In our mouths, Hosanna. Great mercy. Bravery. Prepare ye the way for peace. For it is so, and it will be so." Rise now for the